Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. And we'll close out this hour of conversations with Tony nominees by looking at Cost of Living by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Martina Mayhoek, a show about how scary it can be when humans allow themselves to be vulnerable and to acknowledge that sometimes we truly need one another. Take the characters of Eddie and Ani. Eddie is a former truck driver who struggled with alcoholism and lost his license. He's played by David Zayas. Eddie is separated from his wife, Ani, played by actor and Paralympic athlete Katie Sullivan. Ani is coming to grips with her new reality after a car accident has paralyzed her, necessitating a wheelchair and near constant care. Eddie wants to help her. Ani, at first, wants nothing to do with it. Both actors are nominated for Tonys this year. Then there's Jess and John. John is a wealthy, hilariously snooty Princeton grad student. He has cerebral palsy and is looking for a home aide. He's played by Greg Mazgala. Tony nominee Kara Young plays Jess, who gets the job. She's a Princeton grad with no family in the States who works nights as a bartender and honestly is not making enough money to get by. What starts out as just a gig might turn out to be something else. The New York Times said in its review of the play, it readily breaks your heart, drags you through hurt, and then kisses you on the forehead, sending you off with a laugh. Cost of Living was first staged in New York in 2017. Katie and Greg originated their roles, and from October through November of last year, reprised them on Broadway for the first time. When we first talked about it on the show, I spoke with Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Martina Mayhoek and actors Katie Sullivan and David Zayas, who are both nominated for Tonys. I began by asking Martina what the original seed idea was for this play.
I had just moved to New York, after grad school, and it was a year of a lot of economic insecurity. I had 13 apartments my first year in New York. I was sublet hopping because I didn't have enough money for a security deposit. My second sublet had bed bugs. Like, I got hazed by the city for trying to pursue my dreams and be a playwright. And at the same time, I had also lost a dear family member, the man who was basically like my father in Poland. I was born in Poland, and my whole family's still there. And I didn't have enough money to be with him and see, and at the end of his life, and then to be at his funeral. And I was also afraid to go to have it, to know that then it would be real. Yeah. So it was a year of grief and a lot of instability and insecurity. And the play began one night after I got fired from a bartending job because they thought I had stolen $100, which I did not, but I wish I did anyways, got fired for it anyways. And I had come home to my like third sublet that year. It was a blizzardy January night. And the voice of Eddie Torres came to me and I started writing this monologue for this man who goes to a bar thinking he got a text from his deceased wife. So it came out of grief. It came out of wanting to reach out to other people during a time that I was desperately alone and in need. And this may sound like so deep, dark, and so, but it's actually really funny.
That's the show opens, David, with that monologue of your character, Eddie, in this bar talking about his wife, Ani, who we learned has died. I mean, that is a long opening monologue. It really sets a tone for the rest of the play. What did you think when you first read that monologue, David?
Well, when I first read the monologue, I was like, wow, I have to do this. This is such a beautiful, like, expressive, and it goes a different sections. And then I realized I have to actually learn it, and so it was challenging to just try to capture the moment-to-moment ideas of what Eddie is trying to tell this patron in a bar. And but it not only sets up the play for the audience, it sets up the play for me, you know. And it kind of like it just opens the door for what's going to happen afterwards in the past, and then bringing it back to present time. So yeah, it's one of those monologues. It's the longest monologue I've ever had to, you know, do in a play. But it's beautiful. It's kind of blue collarish poetic, mm-hmm. in many ways. And it's how this character thinks, the faith of his character, and also the fact that, you know, he's also dealing with his flaws and all the mistakes he's made in his life.
Well, we have a little bit of the monologue that we want to play for folks. This is from Cost of Living.
You married a person. And a person is going to be a person even if they're married. That's a lesson. That's a lesson for your life right there. But still, I still loved her. She would text me on the road at night in motels, which alone can drum up certain feelings. That's why there's Bibles in motels. We're all of us in motels on the road to somewhere we ain't at yet. And that makes us feel feelings. Roads are dark and America's long. And I mean, this wasn't poetry, these texts. This wasn't like, you know, poetry. Thinking of you, how's things? Your check came today. Off to bed. Good night. The little buzz in my pocket or on the nightstand. That's the rope gets tossed down to you at the bottom of that well when the thoughts come, you know? The thoughts, that loneliness. The texts, they're like, climb on up out of there, you know? Get up out of those thoughts, you know? Because thinking of you. Truckers got wild imaginations and lots of time to think. Just not much time to do much with all we've been thinking. Except what don't take time at all, and what's cheap. Salute. Nastroria. She taught me that.
That's David Zayas from Cost of Living. Katie, I want to bring you into this conversation. So we can hear that he's charming, he's affable. Ani wants nothing to do with him at the beginning of the play. David's like, why not? Yes, Ani is very clear. She's in her rehabilitation phase. She just doesn't want to deal with him. Initially, why doesn't she want Eddie to come back and help her out? And then, we're not giving too much away, ultimately they work something out.
Yeah, I think it's a really challenging thing to follow up showing up on stage after the entire audience has fallen in love with this man. Uh-huh. And he's just the best and so funny and charming and whatever. And my character's like, get out. Like that is a very hard thing to sort of overcome as a character. I think she wins them over eventually, but no, I think there's a certain amount of pride in feeling like he has broken her heart, but I think they broke each other's hearts. Honestly, it's a challenging thing to be in a relationship with people who have substance abuse struggles, that they are falling in and out of sobriety. And ultimately, I think that is sort of the crack that really started to sever their relationship. And, you know, it didn't help that he was seeing someone else at one point. And she's one of the things that is lovely about Ani is how tough she is. Mm-hmm. But she is, she's incredibly vulnerable and soft on the inside. She's a pile of goo on the inside. She just has this really hard exterior shell.
And I want to ask Katie and David about the worlds you come from. David, you were a police officer. For yes. A long time, 15 years or so?
15 years, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. When and where did you make the transition to acting?
You know, I grew up in the South Bronx, and I always wanted, in the back of my mind, watching movies, say, I want to do this. But I didn't come from an autistic family, so it was mostly, you know, a lot of blue collar. My dad was a sanitation man, and so it was always, he was always pushing me to do something, you know, practical, like taking the fireman test or the police test. And so I did all of that. And then after high school, I joined the Air Force. And it kind of like, you know, got a little confidence in the Air Force and figured out what I wanted to do. But when I left the Air Force, I had, you know, I was with two kids already. And I was young and I needed a job. And so the police department called me. And so I kind of put all my, you know, needs for being an actor kind of in the back, way in the back, you know, in file. But then, you know, like 8 years into it, I said, well, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I'm going to actually go for this and see what happens. And I jumped in with both feet and just did, you know, got a couple of lucky breaks and was able to then leave the police department and concentrate on acting, which it's the one of the biggest blessings in my life. It kind of saved my life. It was a thing. So that's how I got into.
Yeah, you can't suppress those urges too long. They'll come back. For creative people, you can't make them go away. They make themselves known.
No. A lot of people do, and it kind of breaks them, mm-hmm. you know? I see it with my family. I see it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Katie, we're going to hear a little bit of you as Ani. When we first meet Ani, what is her state of mind?
I think Ani, when we meet her at first, I mean, she's sort of shocked to see Eddie standing in front of her new apartment door. But I think she's trying to figure out what are her next steps. And she's 6 months post this injury. Mm-hmm. So I think she's just trying to figure out what does her life look like from this place. And it's really complicated. It's really challenging. She needs a caregiver, you know, morning and night to help her just get in and out of the chair and daily living tasks and things like that. So she's juggling a lot of heavy stuff. And then she gets surprised by her separated husband standing in front of her door.
Well, let's listen. This is where Ani's still getting acclimated to her new body and her new life. Let's listen to a little bit of her explain this to Eddie. This is from Cost of Living.
Sometimes they give you physical therapy homework.
Like what?
Like, try to move. They do say I should listen to music.
See, I was trying to tell you that. So you'll do that?
It's not gonna
do that. Work. It works. I don't know how they don't explain it in the video, but just
I'm
listen
to
me.
I'm about to say some shit, Eddie, and I want you to hear it, okay? So here's a notice, an advanced fucking that I'm about to say some shit I want you to hear, okay? You listening?
Yeah.
Don't interrupt me.
Yeah, okay, go.
I'm
but
sad.
But you want the music.
I'm sad.
You don't want the music.
I am sad. And pissed. And I'm gonna be sad. Pissed and sad for however long. I am pissed and sad, and that's fine. Yeah, I feel like feeling whatever I feel right now in my paper bag. And that's fine. There's no recovery from this. My spinal cord shattered. This is it. And I know you know that. So please just don't. Okay?
That scene is so moving to me, and I'll tell you why. It's a little bit personal. Over the course of the year, I have a family member who was very, very ill. Very, very, very ill. And had to be in hospital for months and months and rehab, and is just getting back and had to relearn to walk. And I saw the play, and I came back, and I said that line to her. And she's like, oh, my God, somebody understands that I'm pissed and sad and pissed, and that's just the way it's going to be for a while. And so that really, I just want to say, Martin, that really meant a lot to my family, that line. It hit me just in that moment and hearing it again. So plays do affect people in ways you never even know.
Thank you so much. That's really meaningful. Thank you.
Katie, as you were, you originated the role, correct? Yes.
Yes.
How has your performance developed over time, having lived with Ani for a while?
I mean, it's been over the course of 6 years at this point, since the first time I was sent the script. And I have grown with her. So much has happened, I think, to us as a global community in the last couple of years that there it's impossible for Ani to be the same Ani that she was when we were off Broadway in 2017. And at this point, you know, it's almost, it has the feeling to me of almost visiting an old friend. I mean, I have so much love and respect for her and for, her tenacity and her, her resolve to kind of figure out her life from this place. And I think that the feelings of sort of loneliness and isolation that she also is wrestling with is something that I understand in a new way post this weird couple of years that we've had. So yeah, I think she's evolved in some really, the depth of my understanding of who she is has really evolved, which is really lovely.
Before we wrap, I did want to ask you, Martine, a little bit about the other two characters of John and Jess, because there's a lot in their relationship as well. I mean, there's the race issue. Cara Young plays the character. Other actresses of color have played the character of Jess, the woman who is his home health aide. He's one of these people who lets you know he went to Harvard within two sentences of meeting him. He's got money. There's a certain sort of seduction that goes on without giving too much away that leads to like some really heartbreaking moments. As you were writing this, I was very curious about what your thoughts about class distinction in this country and assumptions we make about people.
Oh man, that's the thing that I think, like, if I write one thing for the rest of my life, it's probably going to be that. Like, I think that's, I grew up with, you know, very little money and a lot of immigration issues. And then I went to a fancy university and was confronted with the way that other people have lived their lives. That to me was, it like blew my mind. And I feel like I see it in the way that we speak to each other and the way that we regard each other so much, like what a person has, where they're coming from, that like, I'm not even conscious of it when I'm writing. It always ends up coming out. It informs so much about what people are able to do, what they can imagine for themselves, with one's own finite life based on like how much money that they have. So it was always and probably always will be in my plays.
That was my conversation with Pulitzer Prize winning playwright Martine Myoke and actors Katie Sullivan and David Zayas about their Tony nominated show, Cost of Living. Stick around for more All of It next hour. We'll continue our chats with Tony nominees, including Ben Platt, who stars in Parade, as well as Bonnie Milligan and Ali Mazzi from Kimberly Akimbo. That's after the news. Stay with us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.